So we were discussing the six exchanges of love shared between devotees. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that the same exchanges are prohibited with non-devotees. And I shall give some examples of how Srila Prabhupada applied the principle. In 1972, Srila Prabhupada took possession of the Juhu land. At the time, there were no residential facilities for the devotees. So we constructed some tents on the land. The front portion of the land was vacant, and the back portion had some buildings with tenants. And at the back of the property was a toilet block for the tenants, because six buildings were proper buildings with plumbing, and three buildings at the back were just like outhouses, and they didn't have attached bathrooms. Srila Prabhupada was so concerned that we shouldn't mingle with the tenants, although they were Hindus and at the time seemed quite pious and quite favorable. Srila Prabhupada didn't want us to mix with them. And he forbade us to use their toilet. He preferred that we should dig a hole in the ground and put up some sheets around it and use that, because he didn't want us to mix with them. At the time, well, gradually we built a hut, like with chetai walls and a tarpaulin roof. And in the summer it was very hot, so some of the devotees had the tendency to visit the tenants and ask for some cold water, sit under the fan, maybe talk a little. And when Srila Prabhupada heard, he was very upset. And he said we shouldn't visit the apartments of the tenants. Now, the association seemed quite innocent if you judge from the appearance. But actually what happened was, because the devotees were new, and some of them had the tendency to discuss little things, they would visit the tenants just to ask for some water, and the tenants, being polite Hindus, would invite them to sit, and then they would talk. And eventually the talk degraded into prajalpa. This devotee did this, that devotee did that. And the result was that the tenants started to become inimical. And the devotees who were mixing with them also became degraded, indulging in prajalpa, gossiping about devotees, and so on. Another time, some very favorable life members from Pune invited Srila Prabhupada to visit Mahabaleshwar via Pune. Mahabaleshwar is called the Kashmir of Maharashtra. It's a hill station. And many rich people from Bombay have houses there and go there in the summer, those that don't leave India altogether. And he had 60 acres of land and a nice house, which he said he wanted to give us. So he invited Srila Prabhupada to see the property. So at the house, when we got to the house in Mahabaleshwar, there were three brothers. They were a joint family. So the wives had prepared a feast, and Srila Prabhupada seemed to be relishing like anything. And he was telling the ladies, I mean the cooks, that usually he only eats two chapatis, but today he ate five chapatis. And he was just praising the prasad, and the family was delighted. Then Srila Prabhupada took some rest, and the two elder brothers, who are the main brothers, they went out to do some work. And only the younger brother, who was a follower of Rajneesh, stayed behind. So when Srila Prabhupada awoke, he came into the sitting room, and he wanted to preach. So the younger brother came, and Srila Prabhupada said, "Let us discuss Bhagavad Gita." And they discussed. So then the older brothers and their wives came, and everything was nice. And we took rest. And Srila Prabhupada was in one room, and a few of us were in the next room. So early in the morning, about 4 or between 4 and 5, Srila Prabhupada called for his servant. And his servant came. Then Srila Prabhupada asked his servant, "What is that noise?" And there was some sound of snoring. He said, "Srila Prabhupada, it's snoring." Srila Prabhupada said, "I know it's snoring. Why are they sleeping? Wake them up." Then, after we got up and took bath, Srila Prabhupada called us. And he said that we have to leave this house immediately, because it's only been one night. Prabhupada was originally going to stay for 3. He said, "It's only been one night, and already you're sleeping late. If we stay one more day here, everything will be finished." And he said that by associating with these people, we're becoming affected. And then he said, he commented how when we had had lunch together, instead of having someone serve, they had a lazy Susan, which is like a large platter that rotates, and they had the bowls of the different preparations on it. So he was saying that, you know, they would take, you know, seconds from the bowls right while they were eating. And he said that, you know, all the food was being contaminated in one sense, and we were being affected. He said we must leave immediately. Then someone asked, "What will we tell the family?" Because we had said that we were going to stay for 3 days. Srila Prabhupada said, "You can tell them that my health is not good, that I have indigestion, and I want to go back to Bombay immediately. So they were still sleeping because it was about 5:30. Then about 6 they started to wake up and come out. And in the meantime, all the bags were packed and standing at the door. And as soon as the hosts came out, we explained the situation and left. Then 2 or 3 days later, the 2 older brothers came to Juhu. And we weren't sure how to deal with them. And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, they're very important life members. We should deal with them very nicely. And Srila Prabhupada invited them to stay for prasad and to spend some days with us. So it's not that they were bad people. They're actually good people. And even today they're our best friends and supporters in Pune. But the problem arose when we were associating with them too intimately. And therefore Srila Prabhupada understood that we were being affected, sleeping late, you know, being the first visible sign. And he left. But when they came to Juhu, Srila Prabhupada was so cordial and gracious, so positive and encouraging. One wouldn't have thought that anything was wrong. And actually nothing was wrong with them because they are what they were, as pious Hindus, with some inclination to serve Krishna. And Prabhupada wanted to encourage it. But he didn't want us to mix with them so intimately that we, newer devotees, became affected. The last instance I will quote took place in 1973 when the semi-permanent temple structure we had erected for Radharasa Bihari at Juhu was demolished by the municipality. So ultimately we took a house in downtown Bombay so we could be closer to people who we wanted to meet, because Juhu was still remote then. And Srila Prabhupada said that the demolition of the temple was a chance to us to go to the life members and ask the life members to help with the management of the society in India, because we were new, we were young, and we were inexperienced in India and in general. So somehow we developed the idea that we should form a committee of life members, and the committee would more or less manage the society. So at the time, coincidentally, Harikesh Maharaj got jaundice, and I also got jaundice. So we were sharing the same room in the life member's empty apartment. And somehow he had gotten the typed manuscript of the Nectar of Instruction, which Srila Prabhupada had just written, but which hadn't been published. And since he was sick and lying in bed all day, he was reading it avidly. So he came to the verse and purport that we should not take advice from Mayavadis, they cannot help us, and so on. Because we hadn't really cultivated the people who we wanted to have in the committee very much spiritually. They're just pious Hindus who liked ISKCON and wanted Krishna consciousness to spread, but they weren't really devotees, most of them. And most of them were more or less impersonalists. So when Harikesh Maharaj read the purport, he became very concerned, and he told me about it, and we discussed it, and we decided that we must do something, that we should turn over the management of the society to some life members who weren't really devotees in one sense. So then it was late at night, so we decided the next morning we would approach Tumalkrishna Goswami, who was the GBC and who was also staying there, and Achyutananda Swami, and tell them. So like 5 the next morning we discussed. The meeting with the committee members was fixed for 8 or something. So just, you know, just like just in time, just before we had to actually leave to go to the meeting that was fixed with the new committee, we discussed that we wouldn't give them so much power. We would make some excuse, make the subject of the meeting something else than really giving them the power to manage the society. So even though Srila Prabhupada wasn't personally present, but through his instructions in his book, he saved the situation. And sometimes it happens, we do give too much power to life members, and they have their own ideas, and there's trouble. Of course, sometimes we may not give them enough responsibility or enough service, which also is not good. But we have to be careful. And as we discussed yesterday, the exchanges should be shared among devotees, and that such exchanges nourish our Krishna consciousness, our spiritual lives. Yesterday after class, one devotee spoke to me about some place where he saw that other devotees, after 7 or 8 years of book distribution, leave Krishna consciousness. And somehow the conclusion of the discussion was that although they spent so much time on the streets distributing books to the fallen conditioned souls, perhaps they didn't spend enough time nourishing their relationships with devotees. And as Srila Prabhupada says, man is a social animal. So if he doesn't have relationships with devotees, he'll look for relationships elsewhere. So it's very important for us, if we really want to stay in Krishna consciousness and progress in Krishna consciousness, to have loving relationships with other devotees. So, are there any questions on text 4? He's asking, why is it that the association of the non-devotees will affect the devotees? Why shouldn't the association of devotees affect the non-devotees? Well, it does. It's by the association of devotees that the non-devotees become devotees. But we should associate in a way which is favorable to us and to them. So if they, as they invited us, but there is no Mangal Arati, but if we invite them to stay with us, then there's Mangal Arati. And even if they don't go, at least we hope that we will go. And maybe they don't prepare food the way we do, or they don't serve it the way we do, or the way they should. But if they stay with us, we will prepare the food properly, offer it to Krishna, and serve it properly. So the benefit is more for them and for us. So we should associate, especially with innocent people. They are in the category of innocent people. We should associate with them, but in the proper way, in the favorable way. And sometimes when we deal with very advanced materialists, they are more powerful in their own way than we are. Like one devotee was cultivating some famous singer. Male devotee was cultivating some famous female singer in Europe. So he influenced her and she influenced him. And they got married. So we have to be careful, especially when we deal with, you know, the more opulent the people are, the more we may be influenced, because we're not so strong. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself set the example. He wouldn't meet the king, even though Maharaj Pratap Rudra was a great devotee. But to set the example, he didn't even want to meet him, because he was a king. A king is supposed to be very opulent and to possess and enjoy opulences. So I'll read one excerpt from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about Raghunath Das Goswami. Today is his disappearance day. And it's also the disappearance day of Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. How one should be careful about accepting gifts or accepting food from materialistic persons, even if they're devotees, but still they want to enjoy material opulence and material prosperity. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So Raghunath Das's father and uncle, Govardhan Mazumdar and Hiranya Mazumdar, were very wealthy landlords in Bengal. They were almost like kings. And at first, when Raghunath Das wanted to leave home, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him back. He said, "Don't be a crazy fellow. You stay at home, serve your elders, but be detached and do bhajan." And Krishna himself, when the time comes, will arrange. So after some time, Raghunath Das was inspired by the idea to meet Nityananda Prabhu at Panihati. And by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, he left the house and joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya placed him under the care of Swarup Damodar. So, for about 1 year, Raghunath Das used to beg food from the servants who came from the temple, as we discussed. And in the meantime, Raghunath Das's father and uncle were desperately looking for him, trying to catch him and bring him back. Finally, they traced him in Jagannath Puri. When the devotees from Bengal went for the 4 months of the rainy season and returned, they gave the report. And now we will read what happened. Anti Lila, chapter 6, text 250. Govardhanera putriteno nama Raghunatha Nilachali parichaya ache tomarasata. Did you meet Raghunath Das, the son of Govardhan Mujumdar, in Nilachal? Shivananda Sen replied, yes. Raghunath Das is with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is a very famous man. Who does not know him? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has placed him in the charge of Swarup Damodar. Raghunath Das has become just like the life of all the Lord's devotees. He chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day and night. He never gives up the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not even for a moment. He is in the supreme order of renounced life. Indeed, he does not care about eating or dressing. Somehow or other, he eats and maintains his life. After 4 hours of the night have passed, and Raghunath Das has seen the performance of Pushpanjali, he stands at the Singhadwara gate to beg some alms to eat. He eats if someone gives him something to eat. Sometimes he fasts, and sometimes he chews fried grains. After hearing this, the messenger returned to Govardhan Mujumdar and informed him all about Raghunath Das. Hearing the description of Raghunath Das's behavior in the renounced order, his father and mother were very unhappy. Therefore, they decided to send some men with goods for his comfort. Raghunath Das's father immediately sent 400 coins, 2 servants, and 1 Brahmin to Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen informed them, "You cannot go to Jagannath Puri directly. When I go there, you may accompany me." The next year, when Shivananda Sen was going to Jagannath Puri as usual, the servants and the Brahmin, who was a cook, went with him. The servants and Brahmin brought 400 coins to Jagannath Puri, and there they met Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das did not accept the money and men sent by his father. Therefore, a servant and the Brahmin stayed there with the money. At that time, Raghunath Das invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house with great attention for 2 days every month. The cost for these 2 occasions was 640 kaudis. Therefore, he would take that much from the servant and the Brahmin. He didn't touch it for the rest of the month. But 2 days in a month, he would take some of the money and arrange a feast for the Lord. Raghunath Das continued to invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way for 2 years. But at the end of the second year, he stopped. When Raghunath Das neglected to invite Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 2 consecutive months, the Lord, the son of Sachi, questioned Swarup Damodar. "Why has Raghunath Das stopped inviting me?" Swarup Damodar replied, "He must have reconsidered something in his mind." quote, "I invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by accepting goods from materialistic people. I know that the Lord's mind is not satisfied by this. My consciousness is impure because I accept all these goods from people who are interested only in pounds, shillings, and pence. Therefore, by this kind of invitation, I only get some material reputation." Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that people who are under the bodily conception of life are called materialists. There are many devotees, like Raghunath Das's father or even some life members, they're in the bodily conception of life. But they're pious, they want to serve devotees. But their goal is not to let go of the material world. Their goal is to get facility in the material world, which is based on the bodily concept of life. Almost everyone is in the bodily concept of life. If we accept the offerings of such people, place them before the Lord, and invite Vaishnavas to partake of the prasad, the attempt will gain us only a material reputation, not the actual benefit of service to a pure Vaishnava. One should therefore try to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead by surrendering at His lotus feet. If one engages for the service of the Lord whatever money he has honestly earned, that is spiritual service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master, and the Vaishnavas. Of course, Raghunath Das was the ideal example in the supreme order of renounced life. His example may not apply to all of us, but we can learn something from his example. Uparode Prabhu Mora Manena Mintrana Namanile Duki Ha'i Beka Murka Jana. At my request, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts the invitations because he knows that a foolish person like me would be unhappy if he did not accept them. Eta vicharya nimantrana chadidila suni mahaprabhu hasi balita lagila. Considering all these points, Saurabh Damodar concluded, he has stopped inviting you. Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and spoke as follows. Vishaira anakahile malinahaya mana malina mana haile nahe krishnira smarana. When one eats food offered by a materialistic man, one's mind becomes contaminated. And when the mind is contaminated, one is unable to think of Krishna properly. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur suggests that people who are materialistically inclined and sahajiyas, or so-called Vaishnavas who take everything very casually, are both vishayi, materialists. Eating food offered by them causes contamination. And as a result of such contamination, even a serious devotee becomes like a materialistic man. There was one time when we really didn't have any facilities at Juhu, just the Chetai hut. But devotees would come from the west to India to shop for the deities and other things. And again, we had one very pious, favorable life member who owned a vegetarian hotel in downtown Bombay. And he used to let devotees stay there free of charge. And devotees from the West would come and stay in the hotel. And they all got affected, very badly affected, although he was pious and the hotel was vegetarian. And when Srila Prabhupada heard what was happening to the devotees who were staying there, he said that the reason that they had difficulty, some of them really got affected, was that staying in the hotel, they were surrounded by sense enjoyers. And they would start to think that everyone else is enjoying, why shouldn't I? So, association is very subtle and influential. There are six kinds of association: giving charity, accepting charity, accepting food, offering food, talking confidentially, and inquiring confidentially. One should very carefully avoid associating with both the Sahajiyas, who are sometimes known as Vaishnavas, and the non-Vaishnavas, or Avaishnavas. Their association changes the transcendental devotional service of Lord Krishna into sense gratification. And when sense gratifications enter the mind of a devotee, he is contaminated. We have one quite advanced god sister here named Aditya. And she has a grown-up son in America. So she told me that once he sent her some money from America, which she accepted. And one day she wanted to go to Pavan Sarovar for parikrama on some occasion. So she took some of the money and went. And at one stage while she was there, she just thought that my son has sent this money, and because of his offering, I was able to come to Pavan Sarovar. And then she told me that she was at Pavan Sarovar, but her mind wasn't at Pavan Sarovar. Her mind was with her son. And what was the use of taking his donation and going to Pavan Sarovar and thinking of him in America? So it's very subtle. It can disturb our meditation on Krishna. But of course, she's quite elevated, and what to speak of Raghunath Das Goswami. So a little black spot on a white cloth shows prominently. But in the beginning, if we're not able to think of Krishna so clearly, but still the principle applies. Even if we're a dirty cloth, it's not going to do us any good to throw more dirt on it, even if we don't notice it. So the principle applies. Text 5. Krishna ki yasya giri tam manasa adriyeta diksha asti chat pranatibi cha bhajantam isham shushushaya bhajana vigyam ananyam anya ninda adi shunya ridam ipsita sangha lavdya krishneti yasya giritam manasajrieta.
Krishne kiyasya giriham manasajrieta.
Dikshasti chat pranati bhischa bhajantam isham.
Dikshasti chat pranati bhischa bhajantam isham.
Shushusaya bhajana vigyam ananyam anya.
Shushusaya bhajana vigyam ananyam anya.
Nindari shanya hridam ip sita sangha labdhya.
Nindari shanya hridam ip sita sangha labdhya. Krishna.
The holy name of Lord Krishna.
The holy name of Lord Krishna.
Iti,
thus,
yasya,
of whom,
giri,
in the words or speech,
tam,
him,
manasa,
by the mind,
ajrieta,
one must honor.
Diksha.
Initiation.
Asti.
There is.
Chet.
If.
Pranati be.
By obeisances.
Cha.
Also.
Bhajantam. Engaged in devotional service.
Isham.
Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Shushushaya.
By practical service.
Bhajana vigyam.
One who is advanced in devotional service.
Ananyam.
Without deviation.
Anyaninda adi.
Of blasphemy of others, etc. Shunya. Completely devoid. Pridam.
Whose heart.
Ipsita.
Desirable.
Sangha.
Association.
Labhya.
By gaining.
One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In order to intelligently apply the sixfold loving reciprocations mentioned in the previous verse, one must select proper persons with careful discrimination. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore advises that we should meet with the Vaishnavas in an appropriate way, according to their particular status. In this verse, he tells us how to deal with three types of devotees: the Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. Have you read the paper that we distributed yesterday? So, there are two main places where the terms Kanishta, Madhyam, and Uttama are used. One is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Srila Rupa Goswami discusses Kanista Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. Some of the verses from that section are in the purport. As we discussed, the Adhikar, or eligibility for Uttama Bhakti, is faith. Faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that love for Krishna is the supreme goal of life, and that devotional service is the only means to achieve the goal. And one should also be convinced that karma, jnana, yoga, tapasya, and so on, cannot help him. Because one should be convinced that by bhakti alone, one will get everything. You'll get the results of karma, jnana, yoga, and much more. So if one has such faith, he can begin the process of devotional service. Now, faith means faith in the instructions of the devotees or the scriptures about devotional service. So, Kanista, Madhyam, and Uttama are actually gradations in the development of faith. The Kanista Adhikari has weak faith, and he does not seriously try to understand the scriptures. So he has very little knowledge of the scriptures and weak faith. Consequently, he has some tendency towards fruitive work or towards mental speculation or whatever else. And if he associates with karmis or jnanis, he can be influenced by them, or he can be confused by them. So his position is weak. Of course, even if he discusses with them and becomes confused by them, he should remember the words of his spiritual master, and taking solace in the instructions of his spiritual master, he should collect himself and renew his resolution to engage in devotional service without deviation. The Madhyam Adhikari, he has faith, and he is beginning to seriously study the scriptures. He may not have enough knowledge of the scriptures to defeat everyone he meets. But even if he meets someone who puts forward strong arguments, and even if he can't defeat the arguments, but he knows within his heart that Krishna and Krishna bhakti are what he wants, and he's not shaken in his faith, he remains fixed. And gradually, as his faith increases and his knowledge increases, he comes to the platform of Uttama Adhikari. Uttama Adhikari has very firm faith and conviction, and at the same time, he has full knowledge of the scriptures, and he cannot be defeated in argument. Of course, there are always stubborn people who never accept defeat, but actually he's not defeated in argument, but he's very expert in the study of the scripture and putting forth arguments on the basis of the scripture. So, by developing faith and knowledge of the scriptures, one can progress from Uttama Adhikari to Madhyam Adhikari to Uttama Adhikari. As described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And there are three other verses which are quoted in the purport from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which describe the vision of the Kanista Bhakta, Madhyam Bhakta, and Uttama Bhakta. The Kanista Vaishnav is basically on the material platform. He knows that God is in the temple in the form of the deity, and he knows his spiritual master. But he doesn't really know how to deal properly with devotees or people in general. Because Srila Prabhupada has established ISKCON as a preaching mission, we don't usually find ISKCON devotees in the lower stage of Kanista Adhikari. We should know that there's a continuous development from Kanista to Madhyam to Uttama. So it's not that one suddenly stops and the other suddenly begins. But so even within Kanista, there's beginning Kanista, intermediate Kanista, and advanced Kanista. There's beginning Madhyam, intermediate Madhyam, and advanced Madhyam. And there's beginning Uttam, intermediate Uttam, and advanced Uttam. So in ISKCON, we usually don't find beginning Kanista, I hope. But there are other sampradayas where the emphasis is almost completely on deity worship. They think that devotional service means deity worship. And outside deity worship, they do their business and take care of their families and so on. Then the Madhyam Vaishnav, he goes beyond the beginning stage of just knowing the deity and one spiritual master, but he can distinguish between the Lord, the devotees, innocent persons, and envious persons. And he deals differently with them. He gives his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He makes friendship with devotees. He shows mercy to innocent persons or neophytes. And he neglects envious persons. In other words, his vision is expanded beyond just the deity and just the guru. And the Uttama Vaishnav, his vision is so expanded that he sees his worshipable Lord everywhere. He sees that that his Lord is everywhere. Everyone is engaged in service to his Lord. He sees that everyone is devotee in the same mood as him. Like Prahlad, he will see Nrisingadev everywhere because he's a devotee of Nrisingadev. When Hiranyakasipu asked him, "Where is your Lord?" he said, "My Lord is everywhere."
In the pillar?
Yes,
in the pillar also.
So he will see that everyone is in the same mood of love as him. But he won't think that he has any love for the Lord. He'll think that he has no love for the Lord, but that everyone else has. So generally he doesn't preach, although in special cases he may also preach. So this is just the basic description of Kanista Madhyam and Uttama Vaishnavas mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. And Chaitanya Charitamrita contains both descriptions, those given by Rupa Goswami in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu and those given in Srimad Bhagavatam. So now we will go to Arti and we will continue the discussion tomorrow. Gaur Prema Nandi.